This is Central Time. It's only been a few days now since the U.S. Senate voted to acquit former President Donald Trump after he was impeached for the second time. And current President Joe Biden was in our state last night for a CNN town hall, making the pitch for his coronavirus relief and economic recovery package. We also saw this week Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announce the formation of a commission to further investigate the January 6th violent insurrection at the nation's capital. It's our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch or listen to President Biden speaking at that town hall in Milwaukee? Did you like what you heard? Did you not? What do you need to know more about when it comes to issues like the COVID relief package he's working on with congressional Democrats? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tolu Olorunipa covers the White House for the Washington Post. Tolu, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, here we had the nation's president here in Wisconsin last night. Before we start to dig into the details, Tolu, what did you think of the approach he took, what he had to say to people in the CNN town hall?
Well, this is actually the first trip by President Biden out into the country since he was sworn in to sell his economic agenda, to talk to American voters. And he really wanted to show that he is on the case, that he realizes that the country faces a number of different crises. The most important one on his agenda right now being the pandemic, and that he has multiple plans for addressing the various issues within that have been caused by the pandemic, from the healthcare crisis to the economic crisis to other crises that the country is facing, including trying to get kids back into schools. So I do think that President Biden was able to get across a number of his different messages. He did face some challenges on some of the questions about things like when schools can be reopen safely, whether or not teachers should be prioritized for the vaccine, and how he's going to make sure that everyone wants a vaccine will be able to get one, and how long that process will take. So he faced some very tough questions from voters who are interested in finding out how he's going to solve these different problems. But he also was able to talk about his agenda in front of the country, and that was his goal for leaving Washington and going to Wisconsin.
Want to give a listen to the president answering a question from host Anderson Cooper about the size of this economic relief package. The president referenced, he said, economists from across the spectrum who said, in effect, go big. Here's a listen.
Overwhelming consensus is in order to grow the economy a year, two, three, and four down the line, we can't spend too much. Now's the time we should be spending. Now's the time to go big. You may recall I managed the last experiment we had with the stimulus, and it was $800 billion. We thought we needed more than that, and we think we did. It ended up working, but it slowed things up by about, and depending who you talk to, between 6 months and a year and a half.
Let's zoom the camera from last night in Milwaukee to what's going on now in Congress, Tolu, on this economic relief package. Where is it right now in the House and Senate?
It's moving. The attention over the past week has been on the impeachment trial of the president, but while that was happening, the House was moving forward with this proposal to pass Joe Biden's agenda, to pass the American Rescue Plan, as he calls it. It is moving through the House, and very soon it could land in the Senate, where the Senate could take it up. We have to remember that both the House and the Senate are controlled by Democrats. They have a very slim majority in both chambers of Congress, but they do have the majority, and that means they have the ability to pass this without Republican support. Now, there will still continue to be negotiations. Republicans have said that they want to slim down this package and they want to be involved. So Joe Biden has not closed the door completely to bipartisanship, but for the most part, he's ready to move forward with his plan. It's pretty close to what he proposed in terms of what's moving through the House. It has everything from a $15 minimum wage to money to open schools, money for vaccinations, $1,400 checks for middle-class Americans. It is very close to what he proposed when he initially rolled out his plan, and that is what's moving over from the House to the Senate. And with all Democratic votes, he could get something pretty close to what he proposed passed and on his desk, with the goal of having it signed by next month. So they're moving relatively quickly, and they say that reflects the urgency of the problem facing the country right now.
Tulu, I wanted to ask you, you know, the president came to Wisconsin. What do you think the audience for his message was? Why Wisconsin? I don't think we have lawmakers on either side of the fence who are, you know, wavering one way or the other. The Democrats in the state will probably vote for whatever ends up happening here. Republicans, good chance they'll vote against it. With reconciliation, the Republicans aren't needed anyway, in effect. Who was the target of the president's message last night?
Well, I would say it's the entire state, that entire region, and the entire country. The country realizes that Wisconsin is a state that gets a lot of attention from presidential contenders, not only because it's a swing state, but also because it is known as having a lot of working class voters. It's seen as a place where economic issues are very heavily debated, and where President Biden's economic agenda and his goal for getting people back to work could resonate with parts of that state that have been decimated by the pandemic. We did see Wisconsin suffer a few months ago with a very significant spike in coronavirus cases. The need for the vaccine continues to be watched very closely. And I do think that having that town hall on CNN in Wisconsin was a message to the rest of the country that President Biden's going to take his message on the road. He's going to go to places where he thinks it can resonate with swing voters, not necessarily more partisan states that are always voting with one party or the other, but states like Wisconsin, where, President Trump won Wisconsin 4 years ago. Joe Biden won it in 2020. So they want to talk to, swing voters. They want to talk to people in the middle, people who can be convinced and try to win over more voters, even if they can't win over more Republican lawmakers. They want to be able to show that this plan is bipartisan because it has the support of voters in states like Wisconsin, where, right now there's a split Senate with Ron Johnson there, as a Republican, as well as Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat. So Joe Biden's reaching out to those states where he thinks he may be able to at least put some pressure on Republican senators and on Republican lawmakers by saying that your constituents want this plan, and if you vote against it, you could face trouble. Someone like Ron Johnson faces re-election in 2022. So there may be a little bit of a pressure play there as well.
We're talking to Tulu Olorunipa from The Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we look at the top stories in national politics. Did you watch the town hall with the president in Milwaukee on CNN last night? Were there things you liked hearing, disliked hearing, things you wanted to know more about on any of the topics, economic relief, vaccines, school reopenings, and more? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Week in Washington conversation with Tulu Olorunipa, White House reporter for The Washington Post, looking at the top stories in national news. Let's bring on a caller now. Pete is with us in Eau Claire. Pete, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to bring up, Pete?
Well, I'm curious as to why, this big stimulus that they're talking about, giving us all these checks, these $1,400 and all this stuff, how is that going to work better when it's really my money in the first place, unless the government's just going to print a bunch of money? Why don't they just let me have my own money in the first place, spend it the way I want to? Because the government cannot spend money as efficiently as I can, rather than just reducing taxes like the last guy did.
Pete, thanks for the call. And to the argument from the president and economists who support the plan, say, borrow the money now at low interest rates to goose the economy. What's the argument over that right now in Washington, spending deficits and how much they can sink in here?
Yeah, you heard a little bit about this from Joe Biden during the town hall. He said that this is the time to borrow the money, to spend the money, to juice the economy by putting money into different measures and different initiatives that can help bolster the economy. There are definitely some other arguments that say maybe we should focus more on tax cuts and not on sending out checks to Americans. But right now, there are a lot of people who are out of work, and giving them a tax cut is not going to help them. So a big part of this proposal includes not only those $1,400 checks to Americans, but also added unemployment insurance benefits for people who are out of work. The idea is to get the economy humming again, put money into Americans' pockets money that maybe they weren't originally expecting that they can go out and spend. And that will in turn provide a boost for the economy, get, you know, small businesses up and running again. And then that will allow there to be more economic growth in the future. So the idea is to borrow the money now, spend it now, and then allow the economy to start humming on its own. And that will generate growth down the road. That's the goal. That's the idea that Biden was pitching yesterday. And that's the impetus behind his proposal, is to get the economy growing so that in the future, you don't need more stimulus. And if you have a quicker economic recovery, you may end up spending less if you spend the money now than if you have a drawn out, prolonged economic recovery that causes there to be a lot of hurt, more unemployment insurance required in year two and year three and year four down the road if people remain out of work. So that's the idea. It still remains to be tested.
Mm-hmm. Pete, thanks a lot for calling in. Pete, thanks a lot for calling in. I want to switch gears for our last couple of minutes now to look more at the aftermath of the January 6th events at the Capitol. Of course, the president acquitted by the U.S. Senate on the impeachment. But Speaker Pelosi says we need a commission to investigate the January 6th events. What do we know about what she and others are working toward here?
Yeah, this is likely to be a 9/11 style commission that will be essentially nonpartisan or bipartisan, that will really look into what happened on January 6th, look into the president's actions, look into the actions of the Capitol Police, look into how all of this happened, how the Capitol was breached, and what needs to change so that it can never happen again. This is something that Republicans and Democrats have called for. They have said that even, you know, with the president being impeached over this, there are a lot of questions that need to still be answered about what happened, why it happened, what various parties knew and when they knew it, and how to prevent this from happening again. I do expect this to be a very thorough process. It will take quite a while, as the 9/11 Commission did, but it will be the definitive process to look into what happened and how to prevent it from happening again.
And briefly, Tolu, the president, President Biden last night avoided Donald Trump's name as much as he could. It seemed like he is trying not to have what he's doing, it seems like, overshadowed by anything about his predecessor. What do you make of that part of his tone?
Yeah, just as President Trump starts to come back onto the scene, Biden is saying, let's not focus on the former president. Let's focus on my agenda. Let's focus on the American people. He does not want the former president to be casting a shadow over his presidency. And we heard that last night. He wouldn't even say Donald Trump's name. He really wants to turn the page and move the country forward.
We'll leave it there. Tolu, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tolu Olorunipa covers the White House for The Washington Post. He joined us for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics, including President Biden's CNN town hall in Milwaukee last night and the prospects for a new round of COVID-19 economic relief. Congress now working on that. Coming up, Governor Evers released his budget plan. Republicans in the legislature say they're not on board. We'll get some of the big details and look at the road ahead for what's likely to be a long political process to set the state's big two-year budget. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Yesterday, Governor Tony Evers unveiled his budget plan for the next 2 years. It's already getting pushback from the Republican-controlled legislature. The $91 billion proposal would bump spending by nearly 10%. It includes plans to upgrade the state's unemployment system, legalize recreational marijuana, and repeal some of Act 10. The governor is also proposing the largest overall increase in university spending in the last couple decades.
Our universities and technical college systems have a proud and proven history of not only preparing students to enter the workforce, but generating billions of dollars of economic activity statewide and bringing thousands of jobs to communities all across our state.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch the governor's budget address or listen to it? What stood out to you? What should the budget priority be as the Democratic governor and Republican lawmakers try to hash it out in the days, weeks, and months to come? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Big picture, what stands out to you about what the governor had to say last night?
Well, I mean, I think kind of the biggest takeaway here is that this is a really big, ambitious budget. As you mentioned before, $91 billion spending increase over the last budget. And it includes a lot of kind of Democratic wish list items. So you've got the legalization of recreational marijuana in Wisconsin. You have that partial repeal of Act 10 that you also mentioned. There are other things in there like requiring the legislature to take up legislative district maps that are drawn by a nonpartisan commission. There are things like taking a federal expansion of Medicaid. That's something that the governor's been pushing since he was just a candidate for governor. The list just kind of goes on and on and on. I think the big takeaway here is this is Evers coming forward with a real wish list of everything he would like to do if he had, you know, complete and total say over everything.
And he does not. So let's give a listen to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, one of the key Republicans in the legislature. Here's some of his response to that budget plan.
Putting poison pills in the budget, which are things that he clearly knows have zero chance of ever passing a Republican legislature, like the repeal of Act 10 or the legalization of marijuana, really seem to be a way that looks like he's not serious about governing. He's serious about politics.
Those are just a couple of the items Republicans not on board with. Even when it comes to the fiscal items, though, the taxing and spending here, Laurel, what are the differences between what the governor's saying and Republicans in the legislature are saying?
I think a really important thing to note here is that it's not just kind of these policy proposals about instituting a policy like, you know, recreational marijuana in Wisconsin. Obviously, a big part of a budget is where you're going to get the money to do things, right? And the governor and Republicans don't even agree on where the money should come from. So some of the biggest revenue generators in the governor's budget proposal are things like that federal Medicaid expansion, things like the recreational marijuana that would create revenue for the state. Some tax changes for manufacturers, cutting back a tax credit for manufacturers. It would make fewer of those businesses eligible for the tax credit. Changing the capital gains tax in Wisconsin. These are things that are pretty familiar to us at this point, things that Evers proposed in his last budget and has been consistent about. But we know that those revenue generators are non-starters for the Republican legislature. So if you can't agree on where the money is coming from, you can't agree on how much money you have to work with. And so it really illustrates how far apart these two branches of government are in Wisconsin.
Well, even the language I expect we're going to see over the next few months, Laurel, that manufacturing tax credit you mentioned, Republicans, I think, are already referring to ending that tax cut as a tax increase, whereas Democrats have said this was a tax giveaway that benefited wealthier Wisconsinites. They're not even going to use the same words for the same things, I'm guessing, as they debate this out.
That's exactly right, Rob. This is a conversation that they had in the last budget. They're going to have it again. Basically, what the governor's proposal would do is capping that tax credit for manufacturers. So fewer manufacturers would be able to claim that. They're going to have to pay more taxes, hence the tax increase. But Democrats frame it a different way and just say, the majority, a large number of manufacturers are still eligible for this, so it doesn't count as a tax increase. It's, just a huge difference in how these issues are framed when in actuality, like you said, it's doing the same thing.
Talking to Laurel White, WPR state government reporter, looking at the governor's budget address last night and the Republican response. Let's key in on education a little bit, Laurel. The governor talked about, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to keep the tuition freeze for UW institutions, but we're going to try to backfill it. We're going to boost spending, he said. What do we see there?
So the governor would continue the tuition freeze. That's something that Republican lawmakers agree with. So there's a little area of bipartisan agreement. The governor would backfill that tuition freeze. Sometimes the phrase is fund the freeze when they're talking about things like this, with about $50 million. And he proposes an additional $40 million, I believe, for operating expenses for the UW system. So overall, this is a sizable investment in the UW system, one that we haven't seen for a while.
And then for kindergarten through 12th grade education, what do we see from the governor?
It's a really ambitious proposal for K-12 education. We know that the governor obviously was state school superintendent for quite a while. This is, an area that's near and dear to his heart. The K-12 proposal from the governor is a $1.6 billion increase. It's the biggest increase in the entire budget. It's bigger than the increase he asked for in the last budget, which was $1.4 billion for K-12 education. A large part of that increase is for special education funding. It increases the amount that the state reimburses local school districts for special education. Right now, those reimbursements are about 29%. Over the course of the budget, they would increase to about half, about 50% under the governor's proposal. That would cost $700 million. So pretty sizable chunk of change there, obviously. In terms of where this goes with Republican lawmakers, you know, the governor did propose a similar amount of money in the last budget, that $1.4 billion. Ultimately, Republicans in the legislature approved about $500 million, so less than half of what the governor proposed. I would imagine that we're going to see a similar dynamic here, that they're not going to embrace the $1.6 billion, that they're going to look at specific parts of the education budget and decide how much money they can put there.
Do you see anything leaping out at you, Laurel, that says, hey, this is an item in the governor's budget that Republicans probably would get on board with?
Well, I think there's reason to believe that they will look into an education funding increase. The state budget situation, our revenues haven't been as negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic as some folks thought. We're actually in a fairly comfortable budget place where lawmakers might be comfortable with an education spending increase. They did approve that in the last budget, just not as big as the governor wanted. I think that we could also see, and this is something that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss mentioned last night, a fairly substantial investment in broadband expansion in Wisconsin, getting high-speed internet to more parts of the state. That's something that the governor has really focused on, and that's something that Republican lawmakers have said that they can get behind. So that could definitely be an area of agreement as well.
So what happens next, Laurel? Do lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, take the governor's budget, print it out, and break out the red pens? Or are they going to start from scratch with blank paper?
Well, it's going to be, I think red pens is kind of the first step. What we saw in the last budget was they made the first move in the budget process by removing dozens of the governor's policy proposals from his budget plan and kind of working from there. I would imagine that they will follow a similar path this time, striking things, you know, like the Medicaid expansion, for example, marijuana legalization. But as I mentioned, taking those things out really does fundamentally change the nature of the budget because those are such big revenue generators in the governor's budget. So they'll take that red pen and strike those things out, but then it's really kind of reassembling things from there in a pretty fundamental way. So I think you could argue in a way it is kind of starting from scratch.
And then it's a long process. The legislature has to come up with its plan. And then the governor has what is still a fairly powerful veto power over whatever comes back to him, right?
He does. He has one of the most powerful veto pens in the country. So they'll go through this negotiation process. It'll pass the two chambers. It'll go to the governor's desk. And he can make some pretty big changes. The last budget, he actually added tens of millions of dollars back into the budget with his veto pen for education. He added about $70 million. So it all isn't said and done until the governor signs it and we get those vetoes, which will be several months from now.
Yeah. What's the usual over under for when these budgets are done? I know there's a deadline and that's more of kind of a hypothetical construct anyway.
Right. So the official deadline is July 1st. But it's a bit of a soft deadline, because if lawmakers go past it, it just essentially, you know, the current budget just continues. It's not like we go off a funding cliff or anything. The state can continue to operate as normal. So it's definitely not a hard deadline, but kind of July 1st is the day that's circled on the calendar as an ultimate goal.
Well, we'll get you on our calendar for that day, too. Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast, which you can listen to at WPR.org/podcasts. Again, WPR.org/podcasts. You can hear more of Laurel along with Sean Johnson and John K. Wilson. She joined us today to talk about Governor Evers' budget proposal and the response from Republicans in the state legislature.